Good afternoon, there, MLB world. This is JB signing back in for Solution Sports. And what a good day coming off of Independence Day week, holiday, as we can say. We had some good baseball there. We're going into the All-Star break here shortly. And we see the identity of a lot of teams shaping up to what will be and what is to come. Some of that identity is for the better for some teams, and that could be for the worse for some other teams. So, good day for me to jump back in. I know I've been kind of non-existent the last few days. A lot of that is due to my work schedule and the holiday preparation. Very, very dramatic game. I'm sitting here watching the Nationals game yesterday, and they were heavy favorites. Heavy favorites on the money line, as we know. They were losers of six in a row. And going against a team in Miami that's, as we know, still rebuilding. And they have some good things going there for that team and some other things that need work. But you could look at Helixson on the mound and, you know, thinking to yourself, you think he's facing the Yankees. I mean, the guy was just very, very, he looked very nervous, very rattled. Didn't look like he had a lot of confidence. And whenever the communication between him and the catcher and the pitching strategy for each batter was being proposed, he just didn't have a lot of confidence in what he had to bring to the day. I'm surprised he wasn't pulled earlier in the game. But I knew as long as Helixson was going to be on the mound, I knew that he was going to continue to get hit. So, being that they were heavy favorites and they was in front of the crowd, I mean, it wasn't a lot of people there at Nationals Park yesterday due to the fact that they're playing Miami. It is a holiday week. And still, they had to derive something, get something going. And the young man, Trey Turner, was not noted for his power, but he really got it going there, man. Soto was a contributor of it. I mean, down 9-0 there around the fourth inning. Most people definitely would have wrote this team off for the rest of that game, for the rest of the night. And they put a few runs on the board, got 3 runs, and then after that, you know, bullpen came in there for Miami, and that was Murder, She Wrote for that team. Started walking back. That's one thing I know about pitching, man. You know, you can't, one walk, especially if it's a leadoff batter, can change the dimension of a game when a team is trying to get any kind of momentum. I mean, and that's why I said pitching is always brutal. It's brutal. Either you got good pitching, it keeps you in games, keeps you ahead in games, or if it's bad, you can have a 9-0 lead and you can still lose a game, right? So, just wanted to talk a little about that. I mean, I don't know if that's going to change the dimension and outlook of this team going into All-Star break and come out of it. You know, Harper has been kind of struggling here and there, and he's been whiffing at a lot of balls out of the strike zone for the Nationals. And I don't know if the trade talk rumors have been in his head or whatnot, but he just walking back from the outfield into the dugout after they retired the side. I mean, he just, sometimes looking at him, he's kind of out of it. Like, something is definitely going on with him. But we hope that he gets back to full form. We know it's a long season in baseball. And teams are going to have their ups and downs. They're going to have their peaks and they're going to have their valleys, right? And that so goes for with the players. So it's expected. Everybody in the community of the baseball institutions, for every team that represents major cities and states, they're formed of people, and we're not perfect. We strive for perfection. We want to be the best at what we do, but in the process, we have to learn more about ourselves. So just wanted to speak on that. That was a highlight, really, of yesterday, that Nationals game. I mean, and I saw them scoring and scoring and scoring, and it seems like you felt it every time a Nationals player came up with runners on, that you just knew they was going to either battle the pitch count or they was going to get a hit. And they were determined to get that game out. I mean, this shows a lot of character about why that team is always in consideration for being in contention of winning that division. They just have some other variables. Some other teams got better very quick, and that being the Philadelphia Phillies and the Braves. And so it's going to be a little bit more competitive for them to see if they're going to squeak that out There's a lot of the teams that have high hopes and high wishes for this season. Again, National League East, very good. Very good division to keep there. We got a nice duel there going with Atlanta and Milwaukee. Milwaukee took the first game yesterday. They had Julius Chachin on the mound. He's now, after the win yesterday, the 7-2 final. He's 7-3. He has a 3.63 ERA. I knew it was going to be a more of a challenge for Fried, for the Braves. I mean, he had a good out in his last start, but Milwaukee is a top team in their division, playing at home. Very good record. They actually own a better record than the Braves. They're 52-35. Braves 49-37. And they took care of business in that first game. I mean, that's definitely when Atlanta comes to town, you definitely don't want them to get the first game to try to diffuse the momentum of that team. You kind of try to jump out to a head start. Atlanta has Folsy on the mound. I have a lot of confidence in Folsonaris tonight. Kind of looked at some metrics last night as some of the games had ended and some were forming. You have a lot of games tonight. I believe it's up to like 15 games or so. I try to make the podcast as general but informative as possible with the time given. We got about an hour and a half before starting time. And we got some good pitching today. I'm always talking from DraftKings, salary from DraftKings. Just try to simplify the information there. We saw 26 runs in that game last night between Washington and Miami. A lot of home runs in the game for Miami early on. Again, the young guy, he just doesn't have a lot of velocity. Hellickson, I mean, he's throwing curveballs up there, 75, 76 miles an hour. Occasional fastball in the mid-80s, high 80s. I mean, he wasn't fooling anybody. So let's keep that in consideration. A lot of top teams that people do expect to do some damage in the playoffs, I mean, they're still trying to find the character of their starting rotation. We know Washington's starting rotation is fizzled with Strasburg being out. Gio is not pitching at a high level right now. Was talking to a very close brother of mine last night. I was looking at the metrics of this game. Looked at how Washington does respond from a win at home and a loss after a loss at home. So they're pretty decent after a win at home. Gio is somebody that they do believe in. He's a lefty. There are some left-handers in Miami's lineup, particularly that he will defuse a little bit. The coaching staff knows that. So the only lefty they left in there is Boer. And they got Castro at the top of the order today. Castro looked a little frustrated. He was one of the batters at the end of the game last night that had an opportunity to drive in Maben, but he failed. He does get the best of himself sometimes when he underachieves. So they got him up there at the top of the order with Brian Anderson playing decent this year. Realmuto at the third spot. Prado, fourth spot. Boer, fifth. Got a little power there. Not much, no. I mean, if you're a commander of your craft as a pitcher, you have to go at Miami. You can't sit up there and try to trick him by throwing balls in the dirt and stuff. You just got to go at this team and challenge them. Let your defense help you. We didn't see Hellickson do that yesterday. He really put too much pressure on himself yesterday. We know he doesn't have a great, powerful assortment of pitches. But again, this is Miami. They're not one of the higher team in metrics. Out of my mind, I just do not know why he underperformed as badly as he did yesterday, knowing the ramifications of the game yesterday for Washington. But for some reason, the young man just could not get it going at all. Thank God that the bats for Washington woke up for that organization yesterday. So you got Garrett Cooper, Rojas, who can sometimes be troublesome there at the bottom of the order, along with Cameron Maben, pitcher on the mound for Miami tonight, Dan Straley. Very low salary on DraftKings at 5,600. Has some good assortment of pitches, but again, I think this team is trying. I think it is a goal in the clubhouse to try to finish in a positive way, you know. In their last 10, I mean, they're 2-8. They got to try to turn around. I mean, they were right there very close with Atlanta about a couple weeks ago, and they dropped with that six-game losing streak. They're exactly 6 games back, playing exactly at 500 ball here right before the All-Star break. So definitely underperforming for Washington. They're 7.5 games in front of the Mets, who have been doing terrible this year. So they got some picking up to do. Again, they are heavy favorites today. Let's do something very quickly here. We get it going here. So again, they are heavy favorites on the money line today. I'm gonna pull up the whole scoreboard here. Milwaukee is favorite today. Against Atlanta, it's an 8/under in that game. The Yankees, which we'll get to that game in a minute, but Sonny Gray is on the mound. They have a high over/under, 9.5 over/under in the Yankees and Toronto matchup. 70% of consensus believe the Yankees will win, even though they're on the road, and 30% for Toronto. We know Toronto has Gavrilo on the mound. He has kind of come down to earth since he has been given the ball to pitch there on the mound. He has a tough matchup today against the Yankees, who are still dueling, of course, with Boston, still playing at a high level. They're not giving in to the Yankees. They're one game up on New York at the moment. Got the Cubs. Cubs always going to be there. You always got to keep them in consideration. You know, they were world champions. They have a pedigree for winning, and they're staying. They're standing ground. Look like they're formulated some chemistry there that can get them some consistency, which is what they've been looking for a while. Surprisingly, they're a game and a half still back of Milwaukee, who is playing just about as good amount of baseball as they are. One thing Milwaukee has fixed is that they're protecting their home. They're playing 28-17 ball at home. And when you want to stay at the top of the division, you have to protect your home field and understand how you can make it work for you. So congrats to both of those teams in the NL Central, the Cubs and Milwaukee. Throwing this out there because for fantasy relevancy, most of the time, the output of your lineups will definitely depend on how many people you can get out of a lineup offensively with, you know, against a team that's performing at a high level, like a Milwaukee or a Philadelphia, Dodgers. You know, Yankees, Boston, we know that the salary for a lot of these players are going to be jacked up. But the whole consensus is how to get certain players. They're not winning because, you know, they're just skating through the game. They're winning because they're bringing runs home. Players are, you know, certain batters are bringing runs home. When they're not leaving runners on base. They have guys that are very aggressive on the base. They may get some stolen bases if they have speed in the lineup. You know, guys are scoring runs, they're coming in scoring runs, and then there's some power there. Some of the guys that you don't think that are gonna get the home runs in the lineup, they're getting them. They're the ones that get the fastball and they're bringing it in. So, you know, if you got like a Chicago, you know, everybody's going to think Rizzo and Bryant, but then next thing you know, somebody like Addison Russell or Ian Happ gets a home run because it's a complete lineup. Everybody understands the nature of what's going on, and they take advantage of the opportunities when they get them. So you always want to look at teams that are performing at a high level. Same thing with the Yankees. You know, you see Gleyber Torres with 3 home runs in the game, or Aaron Hicks goes for 2 home runs. You know, everybody thinks about Judge and Stanton comes to mind, right? But when a team is winning, they're 7-3, 8-2 in their last team, it's a complete effort. When you look at a box score, you're not just seeing Judge every night hitting a home run. You know, the pitching is holding them. They got a good saver on the mound. To hold the team, the bullpen is working. They're holding. It's a complete effort. So, I mean, that's how the real-time metrics correlates to fantasy. And we want to always keep that in mind. So, let me go ahead and my screen got saved. Same thing with Houston. I'm here watching the Houston game last night. They find a team, they just find a way to win. It's just like in basketball when Jordan was playing his era and they was winning 60 games and stuff. I mean, a team might be up by, you know, 12, 14 points with about 2-3 minutes in the third quarter. And next thing you know, the game is either going in overtime or the Bulls have won the game because they don't give up. They play every minute. They're strategizing who to take advantage of, what the manager is doing to try to counter them, and they have something to counter. You know, I saw that in the game, the manager for the Houston He's using pinch hitters. Same thing for Washington. I mean, they depleted their whole their whole bench last night, and Goodwin was the last person available. So they're always trying to find an advantage to finish a game, because they only ended up winning, even though they had 14 runs, they still only ended up winning by 2 runs. So it wasn't a cakewalk at all. It takes a complete effort in the MLB to complete every game. Even though if you're winning 9, 10, 11 to nothing, like we see the Indians do at times, you know, to get that kind of runs, everybody has to be in unison and paying attention to the calls and the running scheme, the shifts and all that, what are being put against a lot of hitters that pull the ball. So much stuff that goes into it, right? So, just a little recap there. St. Louis, surprisingly, last night they were playing on the West Coast. I mean, everybody had a lot of euphemism about Cueto, and he lost. I was very skeptical about him. I know he had a couple starts in his rehab starts, and he looked pretty good down there, but this is the major leagues, and he had some control issues, you know, before he went down with injury, and he had a bad outing. It's bad. I mean, he was highly salaried on DraftKings last night. They were favored. Everybody just thought he was going to come out and be this Lord. I mean, this knight in shining armor for San Francisco. It didn't work. You know, it cost him a very important game in that division. lost very miserably. You know, 11-2. Just wasn't a good look for that team last night. Anaheim again losing. Barry was on the mound. You know, Seattle, they're pretty tough there at home. Very tough there at home. They won 4-1 in that first inning. Zaz got into trouble. Trout had some guys there on base, but he struck out, you know. And when he strikes out, that's the factors in them winning and goes down. And surprisingly, San Diego being a underdog against the Arizona Diamondbacks last night, they won 6-3. I saw Sujay get a triple there, scored a run early in that game. Again, it always goes back. I'm always going to talk about pitching. You know, Shelby Miller had a high ERA, and he was starting back there. I didn't have a lot of confidence in him. Ever since he left the Braves, he just have never been the same pitcher at all. He's 0-3, a 9.0 ERA. And that was a tough game. They're 48-40 right now, the Diamondbacks. You know, certain teams like that, you got to take advantage of. For me, that's a bounce-back game for him that he didn't take advantage of. And he left the ball over the plate, and he got hurt. And that's how it goes. Gallardo picked up the win for Texas. They're 10 under .500. Not really a great matchup. Nothing there really to look at unless you're a Rangers and a Tigers fan. But that final was 7-5. Two teams playing about the same amount of baseball there. Detroit 38-51. Texas 39-49. Their pitching for Detroit has been really the Achilles heel. And with Miggy getting up there in age, they need to start thinking about who's going to be their next prospect to come up to really look at putting an offensive threat in there with Cassiano. They got to definitely do something with that pitching rotation and to get their offense. And they still got some good people there with Goodrum, and they got some young Candelario, but you know they need to get some kind of identity with that team. They have potential. But they definitely got to get an identity of who they're going to be. I mean, Cleveland is the only really major threat, but they're seeking to get better and better every day. By no means we think they're like a machine like Boston or the Yankees, but, I mean, they're 48 wins. Boston has 59. The Yankees 56. They're 6 games behind the Yankees in the winning division. So, I mean, they're in an easier division playing with Kansas City and the Chicago Sox and Detroit, Minnesota. If they continue to get better and better in that division, I don't see anybody getting even close to them for the next couple of years with that lineup they have. All right, so we try to steamroll through a few of the games. You know, we had the Twins and White Sox. I mean, the Twins and the Orioles yesterday. Cashman was on the mound. Started pretty good, but that didn't last very long. Rodney came in. He did seal the deal this time. He messed up in the last save opportunity he had, but He has 18 saves on the year. Twins still fell, still behind the eight ball. They're 36-48. They're 2-8 in the last 10. They just went on a major landslide and they hurt them. It was on Cleveland's behind there for a minute, but you know, they just cannot in baseball with so many games during the season, you have to learn how to be consistent and know how to stop the bleeding when it starts, and they were never able to do that. I think the sending out of Sano to the minors kind of hurt the identity of that team. That was a blow that they really didn't expect to have to deal. So a major decision upon the organization. But I think since that happened, they were not ready for it, and no one has been able to step in the middle of that order at this moment. They're experimenting there with Logan Morrison. He did go deep yesterday, but again, he hasn't been the same player since he left Tampa Bay. So that's just kind of a rundown of last night. You know, who's playing good, you know, who's still struggling. That can definitely give you a pinpoint of who you can trust and not trust. A lot of people eyes are going to be on the Atlanta game tonight, of course. Yankees, of course, having the day off. So let's get into it. Again, let's look at this very quickly here. Get everything pulled up. First to start off, of course, is the Washington and Miami. Washington is at home. They're 20 and their record is actually 43-43. Looks like they're 20-23 there at home. Let me get my numbers right. I don't want to mislead my listeners. Yes, 20-23 at home. 23-20 on the road. So they haven't achieved 500 baseball at home. Okay. So I had to make a quick consensus of this. I do trust. I'm very sensitive when I say trust, because Gio, I've lost a lot of faith in his stuff lately. Currently on DraftKings he's 9,500, so his ERA is on the fours at 3.77. When he was going against Philly, his salary was 7,700, and Philly was playing a high level. But he didn't give up any home runs, but he gave up 3 earned runs in that game. It was a no decision, and he only had 4 strikeouts. His ability to get people out on his own has diminished. You know, he's not fooling anybody. And being a lefty, and then if you're going against a team that can slug with right-handers up and down their lineup, I don't care if it's Miami or Detroit or Mets. I mean, still, these are major league players. They'll take you over the fence. And we saw that with Helixson last night. He gets maybe 1 or 2 steps above the expectation level versus Helixson, but he's going to be still faced with that tonight. And that's exactly why the over-under is at 9 and not at 7 or 7.5. Because, again, he doesn't his out-pitch to get somebody out hasn't been very effective this year. Would I recommend taking him? I would say yes. I say you can take him. Hopefully they're going off of the, from a sports psyche standpoint, hopefully they're going off of the momentum from last night. And hopefully Harper wakes up a little bit more. You know, he has Dan Straley on the mound. Straley is very lowly salaried. They're pretty much giving away $5,600. That's like saying you take him at risk because he may not be he may not be in the game very long, right? That's what they're saying, especially if they start the. How do you top 14 runs? You know, you come into another game like, what's the expectation today? I mean, is it 8, 9, 10? You know what I'm saying? So, Australia has a high ERA, 4.70. His WHIP is 1.38. He's only averaging 9.7 fantasy points. Against the Mets in Arizona, he didn't do bad. He had 7 innings against the Mets, 7 strikeouts. All right, he did give up 3 on runs, so the strikeouts saved him if you chose him against the Mets, which most people do because they're a very mediocre team. Against Arizona, he didn't do bad. 6.1 innings, he still gave up 3 on runs, had 6 strikeouts. So the good thing about him is against a team that strikeouts a lot, he does take advantage of those metrics, and that kind of saves him. So Washington, they're a good contact hitting team. They do wait on their pitches. They will make you pitch the ball. And that doesn't really fare well for Dan today. I definitely would fade him. And I don't know if he's going to get the I don't know if Miami's going to get the same kind of output as they had yesterday. They blew that opportunity. That was bad. I mean, I don't know how you blow a 9-0 lead. I mean, that's terrible. That's like a team in the NBA being up by 40 points in the first quarter and they end up losing the game, right? So, I mean, I paid attention to that game yesterday. I feel like, honestly, and they saw the same thing I saw. So he's not in the game today, Daniel Murphy. I still think he's not getting that power off his back leg. He's not swinging through getting that full contact power swing. He still has about another. He probably won't be back to top form until after the All-Star break. He had a good swing at a pitch yesterday, and it looked like it would have been a home run for the Danny Murphy last year, but he flew out the center field. So I can tell, and even when he's running down the bases, he has like a little limp there. So I don't really trust that. I'm pretty sure Trey Turner, you know, they're going to kind of avoid him a little bit, but he's a very special player because he's back at the top of the order, and you can't walk him because he can steal second and third easily. So he's going to be somebody that they're going to have to deal with right there. I don't know how they're going to attack him. I'm pretty sure he's seen the ball still very good from yesterday. I like everything Soto is doing. He got a double yesterday. He was part of the rally. He had a big shout out to the clubhouse. Like, let's go. Let's get this thing going. I mean, that's big from a 19-year-old to show that kind of emotion and depth and sincerity about caring about the output of his part in making things happen. You know, that's a sign of a good leader. I like Juan Soto a lot. I like his future with this team. If they continue to keep him around, he's going to get paid. Let's just say that. Rendon, he's consistent. You know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to hack and get his swing, and he's going to make you work for it. Bryce Harper, he's just a game changer. I mean, he hurts you when he doesn't give you everything he's supposed to at 5,200. But seeing that he wasn't a big contributor yesterday, he did have a walk, and I think he scored a run. You can continue to roll with him. I mean, for people who are going to have the opportunity to do multiple lineups, most people are going to be on this lineup again. Matt Adams was 4-for-5. He coming off of the disabled list. You know, most people don't like to take that opportunity, but those lefties right there, Eaton. I mean, normally Eaton leads off, but it got Turner at the top. And then what he's doing, he's putting those lefties down at the bottom of the order. So Dan is going to have his work cut out for him. Definitely see some home runs in the game. I can't really predict how many. We saw a whole bunch of them fly out yesterday. It looks like the ball is traveling very good there. But don't be surprised if, you know, some of the top names like Harper and Soto may go deep. Some of the more guys that bat from the left-hand side, take them deep. Even Adams, let's put Adams in there. Matter of fact, let's look at Adam Eaton for a minute there. Let's see when the last time he had any power surge going on for him. It's kind of interesting because he's going to get some RBI opportunities down there batting in the sixth spot there. His game log, he hasn't went deep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Man, I'm just seeing zeros there. He always hits for a decent average. Runs the base well. Again, if you're looking for someone contrarian in the lineup that most people may fade, I would go with Adam Eaton down there. I mean, he's banned behind. Listen, I mean, he's banned behind Rendon, Harper, and Adams. That's huge, man. So a lot of the same opportunities that Trey Turner got due to the bottom of the order yesterday, I think he's going to have that same opportunity. See Michael Taylor taking the day off. Even Spencer Keyboom had a good hack at a ball, hit it to the opposite direction, and brought in a couple runs yesterday. So everybody's contributing again. I mean, that's what everybody expects out of Washington. They know they're a very powerful offensive team when they get locked in. So like Washington as a favorite. If you got the -230 to put on there and you're able to maybe load up on it, I think they take care of business today. Unless Miami just really is like, we got nothing to lose, and we're going to really get a payback for yesterday, but that's going to be kind of tough to do. All right, so you got Philly and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one of the teams I just kind of hate analyzing. I mean, they're just like a team that's there. Like, when they broke up McCutchen and when they had McCutchen there and Polanco and Harrison, I mean, Marte, they had an identity, man. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, you know, they brought Corey Dickerson in and some of these other younger guys. I don't know what Pittsburgh is doing. They're, like, in limbo, man. I mean, they're 11 and a half back. They're in a division where they can compete, man. But, I mean, I don't know what they got going on with their pitching staff. They're just, like, there, man. You know, they're losers of their last three. You know, I just don't know who's going to be the one to, like, pick it up for this team. Like, I mean, we know Marte's been in and out and hurt. He's been 265, 9 homers on the year. I mean, pretty respectable numbers. But they're inconsistent. I mean, you know, he had three games there with donuts. You know, two of them being against San Diego. They're just not getting the performance out of their key guys. You know, Corey came over. They're not getting with the power that they expected out of him. He only got 6 homers on the year. None in his last 3 games. He's not fearing anybody. He's just surviving because he's a name in the league that had a good pass. But I just don't think batting in a pitcher's park and the way he's batting at, man, is just killing him right now. You know, I don't know when things turn around for this team. I mean, Corey's down there, and the people batting from him don't really fear nobody. You know, Diaz, Moran, Polanco, and Josh Bell. I mean, these guys, yeah, they've been playing with their lineup all year. They got Josh Harrison batting, what, 7th today? I mean, normally he's at the top of the order. I mean, they got Bell batting at the top of the order today. I mean, it's like they're trying it all. So Trevor Williams is up there for them today. They're at home. I'm just throwing a few things out there. I mean, they're 19-25 on the road and 21-21 at home. They're a little bit better at home. They had a tough series against the Dodgers. Dodgers gives everybody headaches and fits. They lost 6-4 on the road. So they're coming back home. Right now, I mean, it's kind of a tough game. I mean, a lot of people are not giving Philly a lot of respect. Right now, they're -108 on the money line. I mean, actually, I'll take that back. Actually, Pittsburgh is -102. Vegas is like they're scratching their head. I guess they're going based on a home record with Pittsburgh. Nick Pavetta's on the mound. I don't know. I guess maybe they really feel like this is a game that Pittsburgh has to have to get to get things going in the right direction, honestly. So Pavetta, he's a 14.6 FPPG, 4.66 ERA, 5-7. He definitely isn't an Aaron Nola, we can say that. He had a pretty bad game against Washington back on the 29th. That's probably the last time they they won their game, right? He had some flashes of brilliance. He had some 30-point FPT games. One against Atlanta, but that was a long time ago on May 21st. And then on the 18th of June against St. Louis. So he does have the ability to get strikeouts, but he has to get some momentum. He definitely gonna have to get some run support. In the games he had a lot of strikeouts, it looks like he had at least 5 or more runs. He had run support, definitely, I can say that. Atlanta was 3-0. So in order for him to be successful, it looks like for him to get comfortable, he needs to be ahead in the game to do what he wants to do. He is a right-hander, and he got some lefties in that lineup. Corey, Moran, Polanco, and Bell, they're all better at the left-hand side. I think the secret in the sauce is that it might be some runs generated by the left-hand batters in Pittsburgh today. I think that's what's in the proof and the pudding, the metrics. With him having a high ERA also, even some of the right-handers can maybe give him fits. I think I see them generating some runs. They're trying to probably get some guys on base that can run. Steal a base here. As long as they continue to stay out of double play, I think Pittsburgh definitely got a chance to win this game tonight. We know Rhys Hoskins is on a tear. Odubel Herrera is really woken up. Let's look at Herrera right there. You know, in the middle of that order, he's a left-hander. And I'm going to just kind of look at that. Because everything really generates with the top of that lineup when they are doing things. Rhys didn't do anything the other day against Baltimore. He had all donuts. He is going to get his opportunity today. He is somebody that you want to maybe think about. He's going against a player with a high ERA. Same thing, Odubel cooled off in that same game. Both of them didn't do anything. Odubel was actually considerably cooled off in his last three games. He just has one hit in his last three games played. Six at-bats against Washington in that overtime game, and he just got one hit in that game. So, look for these guys to bounce back. Honestly, the over-under in that game is 8.5. It's an open line right now on that. People still giving Philly a little bit of the edge in that one. That one's a tough one to call. It really is. With Vegas going with Pittsburgh right now, that's astonishing. So, and they don't play that good at home. Honestly, man, I got to go with the team that I have to go with Philly. I take the top of the order with Philly. I think they got to get out of the little situation they're in with some of the major guys. I think they wake up in a big way and start. They know in order to get, you got to break Pittsburgh's confidence early in the game with them needing to win badly. I don't think they come here and play around. I really want to see how that game is play out, especially with them owning the favorite tag right now with Vegas. That's going to be quite interesting. Philly, again, is playing good. And Washington has an early game against a formidable opponent in Miami. And Atlanta going up against Milwaukee, a top team in their division, they really have the opportunity to keep things going. They're 6-4 in the last 10. They're winners of their last four. Philly, they're not good on the road. So they're 17-21 on the road. So that's probably part of the consensus of why they're an underdog today. Knowing that they don't play very good at on the road, and then they're in a pitcher's park in Pittsburgh on top of that. So those are two things I want my listeners to take into consideration tonight. I don't really see anything bad in that game. If you want to take Pittsburgh, just know I think both pitchers are pretty evenly clean, keen. But I think with them not doing as well on the road, I think that that spells well for Pittsburgh to get a chance to win. But I do like, if it's going to start anything, if I want to give a euphemism for anything Philly is doing, I would definitely take the top of the order. I would go with Santana, Odubel Herrera, Rhys. If they just generate, if he comes out and start walking a lot of people, that's not going to be good at all for Trevor Williams. And we even look at that. Let's do a quick rundown of that very quick. Let's look at the pitching in that game. So, he had two walks against San Diego, none against Arizona. Two against Milwaukee, two in Arizona. He's prone to walking people. His control hasn't been that good here in the last four games. I mean, I'm telling you, one walk in the wrong inning against the wrong part of the rotation, a bad order, can get you screwed. And that's why these guys, they get hit, one hit, two runs come in. All right? So, rostered some bats in that game, definitely. I think both teams will want to continue their offensive prowess. There will be some opportunities against both pitchers. Yankees, as you know, they're going to be heavy favorites today. They're -150 on the money line. People do kind of still respect Toronto for the simple fact that they are a team that bats well, and they play pretty well in Rogers Center. Gray, he got booed in his last game. I follow the Yankees pretty good. I have some people in my brotherhood that are very fond of New York Yankees, and they've gotten me to really pay attention to that team. All I can say about the Yankees right now, they are still developing in progress with their pitching rotation. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Sonny Gray, and Sonny Gray got to figure out how he plays himself. He just does not pitch good at home. On the road, he's a little bit better. 6,800 on DraftKings. Gaviglio is 5,100. So it looks like the pitching is very subpar in this game. You don't know what kind of Gaviglio you're going to get. He has been able to stay out of the negative in the last three games. That was against Washington, Anaheim, and Detroit. And there's some good batters in all of those teams. He's been giving you an average about 4 strikeouts when he hits the mound. But that's not going to be enough going against the Yankees. You know, they're going to find ways to score in this game. I did look at the metrics last night for Gray, and the real only person that's given him some problems on Toronto has been Josh Donaldson. And he's not in the lineup, as you know. So for the 6,800, Gray, you know, they need him. I mean, they really need him. With Lasagna going back down to AAA, Cole coming up being a bullpen day for the Yankees, they're really working through some things in that lineup. They're trying to get some identity out of their staff outside of Severino. CC is holding on, but, I mean, he's up there in the back end of his career. I mean, how often he's going to come out and hold a fort down right now? He's pretty much the second guy in the rotation with Germán struggling to keep balls from going over the fence. So it's a very important bounce-back game for Sonny Gray and Gio Gonzalez, for two teams that are noted to be in the contention for their division. So I like the offense for the Yankees today. I don't think Gaviglio got a lot of stuff that can, or velocity, to really fool the batters. You will need to formulate a strategy of what you want to do, because everybody from top to bottom can hit a home run in their lineup. They got Didi, 1, 2, 3, 4, Ben fifth, not second, but fifth, Judge in that second spot still, surprisingly. It is a different looking lineup without Gary Sanchez in there. So also Roman is at the bottom of the order. It's an AL versus AL, so not an NL. It's not an interleague matchup or anything. So you got Neil Walker at the bottom of the order, switch hitter. He definitely bats better from the left-handed side. So I love the two leadoff batters, Granderson and Gardner, two veterans. They know how to work the count. Damage can definitely be done. They're both lefties going against right-handers. That's going to be a important metric to look at. I think Teoscar Hernandez has had a few hits against Gray. And again, he's an up-and-coming star for Toronto. He's definitely somebody you can play against a mid-tier pitcher in your lineups. And Solarte is going to always, you know, work the count. Smoke has the power. You got Pilar, Martin, Grichuk having a surprise in the air down near the bottom of the order, giving them a different dimension. And Aldemus Diaz, he's kind of cooled off since June, the early part of June. And he was, like, locked in. But now I think a lot of pitchers have kind of figured him out. But he can wake up at any moment. He can be a smoking gun at any minute. So there's a lot of question marks for what you're going to get out of Toronto, because you just never know what Toronto team is going to show up. One thing I do know is that they do like to play up to their competition. You know, when teams come into town, they don't really do well. That's because they play down to their competition. So should be an exciting game. Don't really like any of the pitchers. I mean, honestly, if you force me to choose one, I would take Gray. I don't see too much of an issue with the lineup. I think he will be able to get 5-plus strikeouts in the game. And the organization is really looking at him to see how he's going to respond to his last outing. So definitely New York, I like them in the consensus. They're 70% versus 30%. I do like Gray out of the two matchups on the mound today. They're 6-4 in their last 10. New York, and Toronto is 5-5, playing 500 ball. How long is Gaviglio going to give them? I mean, if they get 5 strong innings out of him and he keeps the ball down, that's a plus, but that's going to be a challenge for him today. We got Oakland and Cleveland. Carrasco is on the mound. Very dominant pitcher. Great stuff. Blackburn is on the mound for Oakland. He has a $4,300 salary on DraftKings. Wow, his ERA is 6.47. Ironically, against Cleveland, he pitched 6 innings, and this was back in Oakland. He's on the road this time. Cleveland is a whole different team in their park. You hear me? Whole different team. So he dominated them. I mean, they didn't get up any long balls. No earned runs in the 6 innings he pitched. He won the game, 3 hits. So that was the one bright spot he has against a top team in his log. If you want to try them again, try them. I say, but definitely proceed with caution. They've seen him once, and they're playing a hitter's park, and they have their ace on the mound in Carrasco. I'm liking Cleveland in this game. I think they're going to get challenged. I don't think they're going to be whiffing away a lot. I say he's a right-hander. You're going to pay a lot for Lindor at $5,900 at the top of the lineup, but when he gives you everything he got, he definitely is worth it. Brantley behind him, it's tough, man. I mean, and for him to pull it twice against Cleveland, I mean, you just got to get on one knee and give that to him. But not too many people are able to dance the second time around against Cleveland, especially in their ballpark. They're going to be looking for some revenge against this guy. And the over-under in this game is 9.5. So they definitely expect a lot of runs to be produced. And most of that definitely will be coming from the Cleveland side. I don't need to go on with this game. You got Kip down there, left-hander, Alonso. Both of them with one power stroke and take him deep. Naquin could take him deep. Greg Allen has speed down there. He's like a leadoff guy down there to bomb the lineup. He can give him some problems. So I'm liking everybody in Cleveland. Cleveland stack, definitely. Chris Davis is a one power guy in that lineup. They got Fowler at the top of there. I mean, you could probably roster Olsen or somebody like that. You're going to get him cheap at $4,000. But Carrasco moves the ball around on that play. I mean, I'm not going to say Carrasco is going to be, like, totally dominant, but I do see him getting 20-plus fantasy points in this game. I don't think Kanha, Fowler, and Lowry can do much with him. With Fegley, Simeon down there at the bottom of the order, even if he gets a hit against him, I mean, probably nobody won't be on base. Piscotty's been up and down all year. I mean, really, Chris Davis is the only person that has shown that he can hit anybody in that lineup. And, I mean, if you're going to take a contrarian play, you want to do it with somebody that can make a difference with one swing and a bat. So I definitely like Chris Davis and Matt Olson on there in that lineup. If you want to just add two players in the lineup going against, and you know, if they do get a ground rule double and you know, Chris Davis gets a walk or something, and then Olsen brings him in with a home run or something, and then boom, you're moving. Because most people probably will not definitely take that risk, unless you got some Oakland A's fan that just wants to put in an Oakland stack and see how far his lineup is going to go, right? All right, I said about 50 minutes before tip-off. Wrap up here in about 5 minutes. Got to join Zimmerman for Detroit, going against Bartolo Colon. You already know what that means. 63% for Detroit, 37% for Texas. Texas, ironically, is a favorite. I'll be going to the window and put my money on Detroit right now because I don't trust anything Bartolo Colon does. I know he's still scoring a 10.2 FPPG this year, but he's $5,200 for a salary. He doesn't get a high amount of fantasy points. Doesn't strike out. He's not fooling anybody with his velocity these days. When he gives you 5 minutes or more, I mean, that's good, but you're still hoping to get 10 fantasy points, and that ain't going to happen for him. Detroit's a team. They can put runs on the board. So I would take Zimmerman. I mean, Zimmerman is bouncing. He's coming back. You know, he has a 3-0 record. You know, he came off of the injury that he had earlier in the year. He's pitching pretty decent. His salary is not going to kill you at $6,700. It's a soft matchup against Texas. He's at home. You look at his splits. At home, he's only in a 1.03 whip. His ERA is a lot better at 3.09. In the 23 innings pitch, he's giving up 19 hits, 3 home runs. He does occasionally give up the long ball, so you want to look at that. You know, if you know he's not a high like salary. You know, they're expecting a 9.5 over under game. I don't think he's gonna like pitch. I think Texas will get a run on him. You know, if he gives you like 7 innings and 1 earned run, I mean that's successful. You know. The games he's won, he's given up one or less runs, and he's given you at least 5 or more strikeouts, which definitely would predicate a 20 fantasy point outing. I like Detroit. I like Zimmerman. Castellano gets a lot of pitches what he wants right there in the second slot. I think Colon will be careful throwing to him. He's going to probably allow Goodrum and Martinez and Adeshi to beat him. I don't think he's gonna let the one guy that can hurt him in the lineup beat him. I think he's gonna. For that, I probably won't play Castellano. Unless Jacoby gets on base, it's gonna put a lot of pressure on him because he have to pitch to him. But that's an unknown factor. So if you're gonna go with a Detroit, you definitely want to play the top of the order. In case he walks Castellano, that will give Goodrum, who's a switch hitter, and Martinez a possibility taking beat. All right, so just giving you a little thing there. I don't really like too many people outside of Gallo and Senchu. Batting the top of the order. I like Gallo with the power and Senchu with the power and speed. Beltre has lost a lot on his bat swing. So those are the only two that I'm looking at. All right, so we'll move on from that game. We got a very dull game in Tampa Bay against the Mets. Right now, the Mets got DeGrom in the mound. It's all pitcher for them. All eyes on DeGrom right now. You know, he's the talk of a lot of trade movement right now. And they're in bullpen day with Tampa Bay. Got Ryan Stanek, you know, hard bar pitcher, fastball commander, great velocity. He normally gets them off to a good start, but I don't really see too many people doing anything about against DeGrom today. I definitely like the Mets in this game. If they bring Yarbrough in, he's a lefty, they're ready for him. They got Flores, Frazier, Marasco, Rosario, Conforto, Quadruple. I mean, I think they get the edge. Now, Tampa Bay, we saw them sweep the Yankees early in the year. They can get hot at any moment. But we're talking about a guy that's salary $13,000 on DraftKings, you know. He's not going to give them much to hit. Even the left-handers there. I mean, Bowers is pretty good, but DeGrom is not. He's not no like little rookie pitcher there. You know, Wendell Robertson, Matt Smith. I mean, I see a lot of strikeouts for DeGrom today. 10+. You're going to pay a lot for it, but I mean, it's worth it. You definitely have to be a DraftKings and get some batters, and normally that's what you do. You got a lot of games here where you can find somebody in a lineup that's around 3,500 that can give you the same thing as somebody that's rostered at $4,000 or $5,000 if you take a higher salary pitcher like DeGrom. I mean, I think on the slate today, we'll probably register that you need to grab one of these guys that's $10,000 and up so you can keep your lineup moving and be ahead. You know, investing in a lot of these bottom-end pitchers is kind of a risk. And it may hurt you. You know, just like if you picked Helsing last night, you -10, -8. And, you know, that might cost you in qualifying at the end of the night. So, White Sox in Houston. Again, we saw White Sox took a pretty tough loss last night in the bottom of the ninth inning. Again, just about every pitcher in Houston's rotation is doing very well. That's why they're at the top of their division. Right now, Houston is sporting a 58-31, 26-17 at home. They must be on the road, but they're, you know, their offensive parks, and sometimes teams squeak wins out of them if they get on top of them with runs. They're 6-4 in their last 10. White Sox have dropped their last two. They're 14-30 on the road, currently 19 games behind Cleveland. You know, White Sox fans say, hey, you know, how are we going to stop the bleeding? How can we come back from that devastating loss last night when they got a strikeout machine guy here on the mound? And he had 7 against Tampa Bay, 9 against Kansas City in both his games there. 5 against Oakland, kind of tapered off there, but he can definitely get you anywhere from 7 to 10 strikeouts on the right matchup. He got a good matchup today. I don't think too many people are going to have confidence in the White Sox, especially after they just didn't have the poise to finish the game yesterday. You know, like, that was just, how do you do something like that? And they got Ronaldo Lopez on the mound. It's 8/under. They're expecting a little bit more pitching in this game. But still heavy favorites. -290 on the money line. For people who was going with White Sox yesterday, man, that was a nail biter. You really thought he was going to come through on the cash cow, and then, you know, they just deteriorated, you know, and that doesn't spell for a lot of confidence. So, Tuve went deep yesterday. We saw not Bregman, but Springer had a big hit there when the bases were loaded. He made the bases loaded. You know, he got Kemp, he got the guy over the third base. But the guys that are always consideration, you know, MVP and, you know, batting title or whatever, they come through. They come through. And at the end of the day, they're not going to get behind. They're not going to play with the White Sox. They're going to come with a strategy to try to jump on Lopez and make it tough for them to come out of the hole. So all Houston in that game. I will look at one thing just to be fair to White Sox fans, because I know there are some people who are going to probably may want to take that risk and go against Houston again today. And if they do anything, they'll have to start Abreu, double-digit home runs. And it kind of hurt him. He didn't contribute yesterday. He had one hit. That was it. But he didn't score a run. He didn't bring anybody in. He struck out once. He got to pick it up. I mean, this guy hasn't really did much in his last, like, four games outside of the one game he had with a triple and two hits against Texas on the first. So hopefully he can bounce back against McCullers. I mean, it's going to be a tough test for the White Sox, but who doesn't have a tough test when they're going against a top team? Right now, McCullers is averaging about 19 FPPG. Very good game his last game against Tampa Bay, 30 fantasy points. He occasionally can give up two or three runs, you know, within the first five innings. He has given up the long ball before. So if that is the case, then they're looking for a bounce back. I think Abreu is somebody you want to look at. If he makes a mistake to him in the pitch in the lineup, then he's toast. I like Foles here today against Milwaukee. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Atlanta matchup. I'm just going to just keep it clear. I mean, they got Peralta on the mound. He's averaging 25.2 FPPG. He is a 10G player. He has 40 strikeouts. Whip is impressive at .87. He had a pretty rough game against Cincinnati. Lost the game. Five innings. Gave up 300 runs. No homers. It's kind of tough to get a homer against him since he started. He gives you about 100 pitches when he's on. Okay, yeah, I mean, the games he did good. I mean, look, it was against Kansas City and Pittsburgh, two underachieving teams. Didn't do good against Minnesota. Colorado strikes out a ton. He had 13 strikeouts against them. So Atlanta doesn't strike out that much. So you take that away from him, and definitely they're going to say it's probably an 8. Yep, 8.5 over-under. Braves are underdogs because of his pitching ability. But I like Mike on the other end. I mean, they're going to look at it and say he has probably tougher of the two matchups. But both of these guys have out pitches. They locate the ball very well. Atlanta knows, just like them, that they're both leaguers in their division. And this is a game, a very important game that they need to win. They're going to have a good strategy come out. They're going to hopefully folks will neutralize some of the... They can't let the people like what happened yesterday with Villar. Yeah, people like them hurt them. They got Thames and Yelich. They're stacking the left-handers up there on top of them. And that's a strategy, of course. But Yelich is a guy who always plays good against the Braves. Shaw is going to be looking to hack on Fosse. And it's the same way around. Markakis, Freeman, NCR, the Abbeys. The whole top of the order in these teams, they all have power and speed. Exception of Thames. But, you know, Yelich can run. Braun can run a little bit. They are not going to run too much on the Milwaukee side. Probably more. Atlanta has more speed. Camargo can be a surprise down there. We saw him golf a ball against down the right field line in New York when they had the Yankees match up there, Acuna. So this is a game, again, it's a popcorn game, man. You just sit back and watch two good teams going at one another. And then you see where it goes. I won't be surprised, though. I mean, they will make Atlanta work a little bit, but I won't be surprised if the bullpen has to get involved and hold some things. It's going to be a very strategic game, very important game, too, for both teams, and more important for Atlanta to not get behind. Baltimore, Minnesota had the better of the two matchups yesterday, with Cashner on the mound, another young guy from Minnesota. So Minnesota took care of business at home. Baltimore just couldn't get the offense going. Chris Davis striking out a lot still. Sculp was the lone highlight yesterday. He had two home runs. So to get Bundy back up there on the mound today, he is their strikeout specialist. He's probably one of the few bright spots they've had this year. Orioles are underdog. Nobody in Vegas is going to get anybody right now to bet on the Orioles. But this is a game. I mean, I see them can pull out. They got some decent pitching on the mound. Lance Lynn has been up and down all this year. He's a right-hander. ERA at 5.49. This is somebody that they can take advantage of. So we'll continue on another podcast here, okay?